Ephesians 4 and verse 27 has an important message. The Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. We've talked to some extent about the first two, and Willie dealt with one of them last week. But I want to talk about this last statement. Do not give the devil a foothold, because the devil is looking for a place to get a foothold in your life. We give Satan an opportunity, and he will take advantage of it. The old Flip Wilson thing, the devil made me do it. That's not what happens. What happens is we make an opportunity, and the devil will seize any opportunity that we give him. There's a case study of this in Luke 22. Luke 22 is the passage where Satan gets Judas to agree to sell Jesus. That's in verses 1 through 6. In the last part of Luke 22, Jesus says to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. If you look at that phrase, sift you as wheat, it means knock you down as wheat. The way they used to harvest wheat in that country was that they would knock the wheat down with a sickle, and then they would pick it up and bunch it and take the seeds from the top. It's not like our threshing machines that we have today. So what Jesus is saying to Peter is, Satan's trying to knock you down. But then he goes on and he says, but I have prayed for you that you may not lose your faith. You say, wow, he's talking to Peter. Peter could have a faith problem? Yeah. As a matter of fact, it's not very long after this when Peter denies Jesus, denies he ever knew him. Peter had faith problems. You and I have faith problems. But then Jesus goes on and says, once you have retraced your steps, it is for you to be the support of your brethren. That's in verse 32. You know, there are things that happen in our lives that can shake our faith. Many times in my life, I've had to retrace my steps. Why do I believe? Why am I Christian? Why was I baptized into Christ? Why do I spend so much money trying to do what I think the Lord wants me to do? Why do I spend my time trying to teach classes like this one? I have to go back over the reason that I do what I do. And Jesus says that to Peter. Once you have traced your steps, it is for you to be the support of your brethren. Jesus says you're going to have a struggle with Satan. Satan's going to come after you. And let me tell you something, folks. Satan's going to come after you. He already has. And he will continue to do so. We face many, many battles. We face many temptations, every single one of us. But I want to tell you something. Satan's a coward. He goes after the weak. And he goes after us when we're weak. When things happen in life that shake your faith, Satan's going to come after you. I could spend an hour telling you the stuff that happened in the month after my wife died. Things that I have not had to deal with recently, maybe mostly due to sin. When I had a child born with multiple birth defects, Satan came after me. I was weak. I was vulnerable. When there were church problems, Satan came after me. And he's done that with you. James 4 says, though, be subject to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Satan's a coward. He comes after you when he's weak, and if he finds it's going to be rough going, he goes after somebody else. We have the tools we need to resist Satan and to live good lives. 2 Corinthians 10, beginning with verse 4, says, "For the weapons we wield are not merely human, but divinely potent to demolish strongholds. Our battle is to bring down every imposing defense that men erect against true knowledge of God, and through that to compel every human thought to surrender in obedience to Christ." Every imposing defense that men erect. You know, there are people in your family who are going to throw up defenses. They're going to try and push you away from God. There are people at work who are going to try and push you away from God. There even are people in church sometimes that say and do things to push you away from God. You can get pretty discouraged with people. That's one of Satan's devices. We are told to fight the good fight of faith. Put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's Ephesians 6 and verse 11. So I want to suggest to you a couple of things this morning about how Satan gets into our lives. How Satan gets a foothold. Ephesians 4:27 would not say, "Do not give the devil a foothold," if that was not a possibility. The first thing I'd like to call your attention is that Satan gets into our lives through our ignorance. Through our ignorance. Let me tell you something, folks. Ignorance kills. Ignorance kills. Romans 10, verse 3. "For they, being ignorant of God's way of justification and eager to set up a way of their own, refuse to submit to God's way." Ignorant of God's way of justification, eager to set up a way of their own. Folks, we live in a world that is full of religious people that are trying to set up a way of their own. And we need to know how to not be ignorant of what is happening around us. We want to do things our way. That's natural. And we become ignorant of the way that God works. In John 8, verse 31, Jesus said to those who have believed in Him, "If you abide in My Word," did you hear that? "If you abide in My Word, then you are truly My disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I've had, in the 20 years that I've been preaching here, I've had 9 complaints in the suggestion box over there. 6 of those were, "You're preaching too much Bible." That's the best compliment I've had in the 20 years I've been here. Because what is the Bible? The Bible is God's Word. Why do we have classes on Sunday night? You know, we're getting to the point where our Sunday night attendance is almost as big as our Sunday morning attendance, sometimes bigger. Why does that happen? Because we have sister congregations and denominations around us that don't have classes on Sunday night. And we have a lot of folks that are hungry for God's Word. Jesus says, "You shall abide in My Word if you are My disciples." Let me urge you, come to our classes on Sunday night. Yeah, I know, we got a lousy teacher right now, but that'll get rectified eventually. The fact of the matter is, it's the discussion that takes place, not the fact that I'm teaching the class. And I'm not worried about how many people we have. Last week, we had so many people, we couldn't get everybody in the room. We had to use the table on the side. That's a good thing, but of course, Willie was the one who was speaking. But I think it's important to understand that we don't just have Wednesday night classes and Sunday night classes because we're in a hurry to try and glorify a teacher or to promote some kind of specialized human doctrine. We don't want to be ignorant of God's Word. Jesus goes on after he says that, and he says, then you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free of what? Free of ignorance. Free of frustration. Free of loneliness. Free of all the things that tend to tear us down and make us vulnerable to Satan. Romans 10:17 says, belief comes from hearing the word of Christ. There's another interesting passage that talks about Satan's properties. It says, sinners are of your father Satan, and the lust of your father is your will to do. Satan was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. For Satan is a liar and the father of lies, John 8 and verse 44. What's that mean? It means Satan controls through lies. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sick of the political situation in this country right now. And I'm not talking about whether you're Democrat, whether you're Republican. I'm talking about the fact that we live in a country right now where lies seem to be the main agenda in the political scene. An article in Time magazine this week, the one that just came out, they recorded how many lies Trump has said and how many lies Obama said. And what's interesting is it's a pretty close race. We have become acclimated to the idea that falsehood is not such a bad thing, as long as you don't get caught. Where's all that come from? It comes from Satan. Satan, John 8:44, is a liar and the father of lies. If Satan destroys this country, that's the way he's going to do it. And Satan can destroy the church. No, not the church that Jesus established, but the local congregation. We need to understand the way to oppose that is to not rely on humans. Not me, not anyone else. To avoid ignorance. Listen to 2 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse 13. He's talking about the things that happen because of Satan's influence. He says, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. And it is no marvel that even Satan himself fashions himself into an angel of light. You turn on the television and you see a great speaker. Wow, boy, that guy can really preach. Is he an angel of light? Well, maybe. Is he of Satan or of Jesus? How are you going to tell? Last weekend, we had the opportunity to hear one of the great orators of our time. I mean, whether you agree with Willie on everything he said or not, the fact of the matter is the man is a masterful speaker. Masterful. I learned a lot, probably more than anybody else last weekend. But is he an angel of light? And is he from Satan or from God? How do you answer that? You've got to know the Word. You've got to know the Word. And the reason I know he is not Satan, the angel of light, is because his speaking and the things he taught were based upon Scripture, upon the Word. The passage goes on and says, it is no surprise then that his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Ignorance kills. I beg you, don't allow yourself to be ignorant. Learn. Grow. Our classes are available. We have correspondence courses. We have all kinds of ways that you can grow. But don't be satisfied with where you are now. The second point I'd like to make about how Satan gets into our lives and gets a foothold is that he gets into our lives because of our attitudes. Now, if I haven't gotten to you earlier, stick around. I'll get to you later. Because your attitude is the way you think. The way you think. You need to change your way of thinking if attitude is letting Satan get into your life. And who knows about how you think? You do. And God does. Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart are the issues of life. How you approach issues of life is a reflection of your attitude. It's kind of interesting. Mandy was wearing a t-shirt that had a picture of her. I don't know exactly the wording, but something to the effect of, hang on, I'm creating a new human here. And I don't know whether she saw the response of that, but there was a woman who posted, I'm pregnant too, oh no. Do you see the difference in attitude? Do you see the difference in attitude? Proverbs 23:7 says, for a man thinks, so is he. When the Bible lists the things that destroy us, the things that bring us down, the things that cause problems in our lives, what's the source of it? Listen to Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart comes, what are these? Evil thoughts. That's an attitude, isn't it? Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, railings. What do you think about? In Galatians, the fifth chapter, beginning with verse 19, there's an elaboration about that. I want you to think about, where do these things start? The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. What are those? Those are the products of thought. They're the product of our attitudes. Read Philippians 4, beginning with verse 8, you'll see the other side. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, of good report, virtue, and praise, think on these things. That's how we avoid giving place to the devil. Letting the devil get a foothold, and let me make a very practical suggestion here, something that I would urge you to sit down this evening and think about a little bit. What kind of television do you watch? I'm very serious here. What kind of television do you watch? Because that affects your attitude. Are they violent shows? Are they shows that glorify immorality? What kind of movies do you go to? What kind of magazines are in your living room? You know, we need to sit down and think about what we let control our attitudes. Because our attitudes let us be open to the things that Satan would have us to do. The third thing I'd like to call your attention to is that Satan gets into our lives through indifference. Boy, does that go all the way back. Remember Genesis 4, verse 9? Somebody said, am I my brother's keeper? Who was that? Well, that was Cain after he murdered Abel, wasn't it? We would like to answer, no, I don't have to worry about my brother. That's not God's way. God says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. That's Luke 10, beginning with verse 28. He goes on in that passage and talks about the Good Samaritan. No one tolerates indifference in things that matter. Now, if you've talked to family who are not Christians, what have you heard? Probably you've heard, well, I don't really care. Oh, yeah? Is that applying to anything else in your life? If it's important to you, then you do care. How about your kids? Do you care? How about your wife? Do you care? How about your husband? Do you care? Do you care about yourself? Do you care about eternity? Do you care about what happens when you die? We've had a lot of funerals in the last 6 months. People that died and cared made a difference. We ought to be people who bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves, but that we care enough about pleasing God. And so the Bible says, and let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good works, Romans 15, beginning with verse 1, and Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Selfish living is living for Satan, giving Satan an open door. I'd also suggest to you that Satan gets into our lives through materialism. In Timothy 6 and verse 7, it says, we brought nothing into this world and we will carry nothing out. They that are determined to be rich fall into temptation and the snare and many foolish and harmful lusts. And those drown men in destruction and perdition. You know, it's really hard to live in America today and not have materialism affect you. I stand up here and I look out that window back there and what do I see? Boats, cars, RVs from the dealer next door. It's a good business. I'm not criticizing what he's doing. I'm just saying it's pushed at us from every side. You turn on your television, what do you see? Luke 10 and 12 and verse 15, Jesus says, take heed and keep yourselves from all covetousness. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. We've lost some good people in the last year. Some of them were very successful financially. Do you think their finances have been important to them during the last 12 months? We need to think about what does it profit a man if he owns the whole world but loses his own soul? Materialism, the things that are out there, give Satan a foothold. When you get ready to buy something, think about what the use of that is. What effect that's going to have on your attitude. When you're buying a car, does it make any difference to you what kind of car it is and how much it costs? What influence does that have on your thinking, on your attitude? If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and fuel and rust consume, where thieves break in and steal. While we do not look at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. That's Jesus talking in Matthew 6 and verse 19. You don't want Satan to get in your life. Look at your possessions and what's important. And while we're on that subject, Satan also gets into our lives through fear. And this goes together with the materialism. Matthew 14 and verse 13, we have that story about Peter walking on the water and starting to sink. Why did he sink? Because he got afraid, right? In Numbers 13, beginning with verse 31, what was it that kept Israel out of the promised land? Well, here's what they said. They, the promised land, are stronger than we are. The men are of great stature. We look like a bunch of grasshoppers. What's the problem? Fear. Hebrews 3, beginning with verse 17. They were not able to answer because of their disbelief, because they were weak and afraid. Does fear drive your life? What's your source of strength? Let me tell you something. If Satan can replace your faith with fear, he has you. If Satan can replace your faith with fear, he has you. So do you have health concerns? Are you afraid you're going to die? You are. You are. But if we fear death, what does that do to us? Are you afraid you're going to lose your mind? That you're not going to be able to remember things? People who work with people who have dementia and people who have Alzheimer's and problems that have memory issues say that one of the greatest catalysts, that means speeds it up the most, is being afraid of it. And there are ways we can address those things. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth." So no matter what your illness, no matter what your mental state, no matter what your economic state, Jesus says, "I'm with you. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. For if God is for us, who can be against us? All things are possible to him who believes." Those are those four passages in your bulletin. Read them. Look at how fear doesn't need to be a part of our makeup. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, "For which cause I suffer, yet I am not ashamed. For I know him in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to guard that which I have committed to him against that day." If we trust in God, if we believe in God, then Satan's influence will not take away our joy no matter what our age is. And finally, Satan gets into our lives through stubbornness. You know, King Agrippa said to Paul in Acts 7:16, verses 28 and 29, Agrippa said to Paul, "With a little persuasion, do you expect me to become a Christian?" Agrippa had heard one sermon. And he apparently considered it possible that that would be enough to convince him to become a Christian. How many have you heard? How many times have you been taught? How many times have you read what God has told you? Satan wants you. And we can't just sit back and say, "Well, that was a neat story, but I just don't think it's relevant to me." No, that's not. That's indifference. You can't just say, "I'm not sure I believe all that." That's ignorance. You can't say, "Well, I'm afraid to stand up in front of people." That's fear. You can't say, "Well, there's too much I'd have to give up." That's materialism. You have a promise that God will help you with those things that you can't handle. You remember what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 37 when people heard the message? The Bible says they were pricked in their heart. What does that mean? It means that the message got through to them. They no longer were ignorant. They no longer were indifferent because they knew what they had done. They were no longer afraid. They knew there was an answer. Their attitude had changed. And they no longer considered what they had the most important thing in life. And so they said, "Men and brethren, what do we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Repent. Change your life. Think about who you want to identify with. Satan. And all the things that Satan brings, which are ultimately lies, or the joy and the peace of knowing that your relationship with God is eternal and that Satan has no power over you. I would beg you, don't be stubborn. Respond to God's invitation. If you need our prayers, if you need to be baptized into Christ, we urge you to do that today. As together we stand and sing to encourage you. Won't you please come?